smiles, my man.
Yeah, you are Al Jolson there, blacked up with some boot polish. Try doing that in 2007, you'll be hauled up before at least one tribunal. There was a series of great movies called The Jolson Story and Jolson Sings Again, which were, when I was a kid growing up, certainly Sunday afternoon, fire on, roast beef sandwiches, and watching that movie. But that's not what we're talking about. That's him singing Mammy from the Jazz Singer, 80 years old, if you'll still believe it. And now, radio and recording were only in their infancy in the 1920s. 2RN, the forerunner to RTE Radio, broadcast for the very first time in 1925. But some of the voices of the time were being recorded for posterity. So have a listen to this and see how many of these you can identify.
Since the Dublin station opened on January the 1st, 1926, our policy has been to concentrate as much as possible on the cultivation and preservation of our traditional Irish culture.
I asked Miss Negrada if she had been with Radio Éireann from the very first night.
No, I joined the staff just a year later.
In what capacity?
My rank was that of woman organiser.
Well, it sounds formidable.
It
what
does.
Does it mean?
I was in charge of the programmes for children and for women. The thing was new. You see, it was a new toy, and it was exciting and fresh, and everybody wanted to get in.
When I was a young man, which is now an unreasonably long time ago, the man who wrote plays got paid by the manager of the theatre. Usually, in the first instance, a London theatre.
When I was a young lad in the town of Sligo, I read Thoreau's essays and wanted to live in a hut on an island in Loch Gill called Innisfree, which means Heather Island.
Aviation, this young modern giant, exemplifies the possible relationship of women and the creations of science. Although women as yet have not taken full advantage of its use and benefits, air travel is as available to them as to men.
Frank, modest, congenial, a man of good moral habits and regular in his business transactions. Colonel Charles A. Lindbergh.
What a lovely time.
In there you had people like George Bernard Shaw, who won the Nobel Prize in 1925. W.B. Yeats, he was there, of course, who became a senator in 1922. Amelia Earhart, who in 1928 was the first woman to fly across the Atlantic. Amazing to hear all those voices 80 years on now. But let's go to our first guest this morning. One man who might have heard some of those voices the very first time around is Dan Keating, who was in his 20s in the 1920s. Dan, good morning to you.
Morning.
And thank you for joining us. How are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm not too bad.
Very good. We were talking earlier on that 2007 marks the 85th anniversary of the founding of the Irish state. You don't recognise the legitimacy of this state, do you, Dan?
Oh, no. We're one country and always have been one. And at the moment, one-tenth of the population of Ireland is holding down a large part of our country for England. The vast majority of the population in that, they'd be what the people call blow-ins.
And you fought in the War of Independence, is that right, Dan?
I did, yes.
Can you recall those days? Can you recall your days fighting in that war?
Oh, God, yes, yeah. At that time, of course, it was good, and you had all the whole population behind you.
And what sort of things did you get up to in the War of Independence?
Oh, well, we just kept going down. We done whatever we were asked to do, and that was about it.
Did you fire a gun?
Oh, I surely did.
Did you kill anyone?
Oh, I couldn't. When you're at war and when there's something on, when everyone is you, don't know whether you killed anyone or not.
Did you oppose the treaty then as well in 1920?
Oh, God, yes.
Why?
The treaty, when it came, it was all right. Well, but in a very short time, a large majority of people got to know that the treaty was going to solve nothing for us. And then again, of course, the man that should be in the middle of it, De Valera, he ran away from it and let some other people represent him. He just wasn't up to it, that he wouldn't do it.
Did you think Dave was a coward?
I don't think it at all. I'm full sure of it.
And do you think he would have signed the treaty?
I believe he'd just have signed it because he was a coward.
Have you seen The Wind That Shakes the Barley?
Oh, yeah, I have, yes.
And what did you think of it, Dan?
Well, I thought it was great.
Why?
Well, it represents the spirit of the people at the time, you see. And it also, later on, and part of it, highlighted the atrocities that were committed in post the treaty.
And did you recognise a bit of yourself in some of the characters?
Ah, well, of course, I could see the Tom Barry right away being represented there, you know.
Do you remember going to the cinema as a younger fella?
Oh, I do, yes.
What sort of things did you go and see?
Oh, well, there used to be some great musical pictures at the time and all that, you know.
In Ireland, in the 1920s, yeah. Was it a good time or was it a grim time?
The 20s, it was after the war, you know, and times were getting difficult in Ireland, you know. Times were not good.
And what sort of jobs were people doing? What did you do?
Actually, I was a barman all my life. I served my time in Tralee and I worked in Dublin in the Comet mostly for years.
And what were people drinking mostly at that time?
Well, the principal drink that time was a pint. A pint of stout ice salted for 8 pence a pint.
In terms of things like health and well-being, were people well at the time? Was there good health in the country?
Oh, God, look, in the 1919, now you had a killer flu, and the people weren't able for it. They weren't petty resisted, and they died in hundreds.
Did you know people who died from that flu?
I did, yes. I knew one family, 5 brothers. Every one of them were dead before they were 21 with the killer flu.
In terms of things like transport, Dan, how did people get around? How were you getting up and down to Dublin from...
Well, I mean, the transport in my younger days was a pony and car. A common car now, you would see 2 seats in the front and 2 seats in the back of it, if you like. And there was what they call a pony and trap in. And in those, that was good.
And who was driving cars at that time, Dan? Was it only the wealthy had the cars?
The first car didn't come to Kerry until about, I think it was 1917 or 18. Miss Walker, she was a Protestant landowner in Castlemaine. At the time, there was no car on the roads, and when she'd be going up, you'd see a whole lot of rising behind her, you know, the dashes from the bare ground.
Yeah.
There was no tar roads.
To enjoy yourself, Dan, what sort of thing would you do in say, the evening times, typically?
Oh, God, in the evening time, people met at the crossroads and they'd have a talk. Then again, they'd have football a couple of times a week. It was great years for Kerry and football, too, then, you know.
You won't forget that.
Yeah.
Was there music and that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah, God. Yeah, you had a man, there was what you call crossroad dancing, and there'd be a man that'd play a concertina or an accordion there, you know. And there was great, nearly all Irish dancing.
So yourself and Eamon de Valera had that in common, that you both enjoyed the dancing at the crossroads, is that right?
Well, I don't know about evil here, I don't.
Yeah, but I'm trying to find some peace between you, make your peace with Dev.
Oh, God, no, you could find nothing between us. After all, you know.
A lot of people went to America, didn't they, in the 20s?
Oh, God, shoot from home. Because every time that the Irish people, particularly now the Kerry people, the minute they had £5, they'd send it back to bring out some other member of the family. They were the greatest generation of Irish people ever known.
Why do you say that?
Because they brought people out of poverty to America to make a living.
Did you ever think of going over there yourself, Dan?
I did, Seth, and I was refused a visa. They took me before the consul and Ivan. I got a bad reference from the police. And the first question he asked me, was there any reason why shouldn't you say, he said political, and he emphasized political or otherwise, why shouldn't be granted a visa? And he alerted me all right. And the next question he said, were you ever in jail? And I just told him the truth. I said I was nearly in every jail in Ireland, and I was.
Well, that was the end of your American dream, then.
I went out there 5 times after on holidays.
Did you?
I was granted a visa years after.
And what did you think of America all those years later?
Well, at that time, the people that went to America in the very early 90s, right up, any one of them that 20 years and was lived right, they could come home and establish themselves at home.
And did any of your brothers or sisters go over?
Oh, all of them. They went to New York, Detroit, and Chicago. And I had 2 brothers settled in London.
What was the most impressive thing, Dan, about the 1920s? What do you remember the most clearly?
You'd have to say now, from about 1923 right up to about 1937, there were difficult and hungry times in Ireland. There was no factories or anything like that that time, you know. It was only in later years that you got anything like that. De Valera was always opposed to factories or anything like that, you see. And it was only when Lee asked him, he didn't come in time, that he established factories.
Yeah. Do you think that Ireland is a good place now?
Every man is doing well. There's no hunger anymore in Ireland now. What we're in the middle, it is doing very, 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 very well. There's only thing that you always have the problem of partition in the background. You know, you hear a lot about democracy. But where is democracy? There's 10% of the people of Ireland holding down that part of the country for England.
And what did you make of Gerry Adams and Ian Paisley sitting down?
Oh, Christ, Gerry Adams is rotten.
Would you ever think of running for political office yourself, Dan?
Oh, never know.
But you're only 105. You sound like you've plenty of energy left.
One time four men sat down. They were having a conversation about him. One of them, anyway, Bernard Shaw was the man. One of them said to him, to surprise him, you never went for politics, and he got offended, and he said, don't you know, he says, that politics is the last refuge of a scoundrel. Did you ever hear that before?
Maybe just once.
It is true today as it was then.
Okay, Dan, thank you so much for talking to us this morning.
Right, thank you.
A continued good health.
Yeah, good luck.
And thanks for talking to us. That's Dan Keating joining us there, as I say, 105-year-old gentleman. Who was in his 20s, in the 1920s. It's an extraordinary link with that decade there. It's a real pleasure to talk to him this morning.